Penguin Random House Audio presents Kit McBride Gets a Wife by Amy Berry. Read for you by Eva Kaminsky. For my brother, who is both littler and bigger than me, I love you, G. 1. Bucks Creek, Montana, 1886. Well, spit. How was Junebug to know flour was flammable? It was flour. You cooked the stuff, for Pete's sake. It wasn't gunpowder. Only somehow, that great big sack of flour had blown the belly out of the cookhouse, she marveled, as she watched her older brothers try to save the outbuilding.
You could have killed yourself, Morgan raged, as he threw buckets of creek water at the snapping flames.
She was rather singed, and her rear end sure did hurt from where she'd landed in the woodpile. But she was fine. And what a thing to see! All that flour floating about in the air, and then wham! No cookhouse!
You ought to be tarred and feathered for this, Bo grumped, sloshing water on Junebug's bare feet as he jogged up from the creek.
Well, spit, Junebug said. It ain't like I set fire to the cookhouse on purpose. Not this time or the last time. If this was anyone's fault, it was Morgan's. He'd been the one to dump that great big sack of flour in front of her and shut her up in the cookhouse to bake, rather than let her go fishing. If it had been up to her, she'd be stretched out in the meadow, pulling a few fat bull trout from the creek, and their cookhouse would still be standing. But no. Morgan had to go force her into an apron and lock her in the dark little hut for the afternoon. If anyone was to blame for this, it was definitely him. Not that she was game to tell him that yet. She'd wait till he cooled off some. She'd at least wait until the fire was out. Morgan was worse than a grizzly coming out of hibernation when he was in a mood. And he was pretty much always in a mood.
How do you burn a stove down?
Jonah asked, as they watched the remains of the cookhouse smolder. Surely the whole point of a stove is that it's fireproof.
Junebug could burn down hell itself,
Kit sighed. He and Morgan had that mountainous look they got when she was in trouble. They went all immovable and stony, and she knew there was no way around them.
It wasn't my fault, she reminded them.
It never is.
Morgan looked madder than usual.
But this time, it really wasn't.
They weren't listening. They never did. Not for the first time, Junebug wished she had a sister. A proper live one. Technically, she had three of them. But they were all bundled up under the choke cherry tree. No use to her at all. Sleeping with the angels was written on their gravestones. But Junebug never believed it. Why would you sleep if you got to see angels? No. She was certain those three little girls were having a time of it, flying about, instead of being here to help Junebug deal with their brothers. And she sure did need some help. With the cooking, for a start, those four could eat more than a herd of buffalo. And they were fussy as hell, always complaining that she'd burned this or put too much salt in that. Where was it written that she knew how to cook just because she was a girl? Nowhere, that was where. And she hated cooking. Almost as much as she hated doing their laundry, and she hated that something fierce. Those boys stank. After winter, their long underwear was fit for burning rather than cleaning. And did they thank her when she took the trouble to burn it? No. Morgan just shouted at her about the cost of new underwear.
They were unwashable,
she'd tried to explain. But that had been another prime example of a time when he didn't listen to her.
Don't just stand there. Kit thrust a pail at Junebug. You made this mess. You help clean it up.
Junebug followed him down to the creek.
I told you, it was Morgan's fault.
You're just lucky we were smart enough to build the cookhouse close to the water and away from the woods. The last thing we need is a wildfire. Kit scooped up creek water.
It was my idea to build it close to the water, she reminded him, filling her own pail, so I wouldn't have to haul water so far.
I swear, Junebug, you're as lazy as a house cat.
Lazy?
Oh, Junebug could have dumped the whole pail over his head, and she would have if he wasn't already halfway back to the smoking cookhouse.
Lazy? She did nothing but work. She scrubbed and cooked and mended and fed the animals and gathered eggs and did the work of 7 women. At least, maybe 10 women.
But did they give her any credit?
No.
Instead, it was, you can't pick blackberries, you have to milk the cow. You can't go wandering,
you have to darn some stinky socks.
You can't go fishing, you have to bake bread with all this stupid flour.
And when Morgan's deadly flower blew itself up, it was somehow her fault. And she was also to blame for how slow they were to put out the fire.
Well, she wasn't taking that.
No, Kit said flatly as she stalked up behind him. I don't want to hear it.
But
no.
He kept his back turned on her, like she was nothing more than an irritating mayfly.
You know the rule. You got something to say to me? You write it in your book, Kit told her shortly.
I will,
she promised his great big slab of a retreating back.
You just wait.
As soon as the fire was out, and Morgan was done growling at her, she marched straight down to the trading post. It was a ramshackle log building down by the creek, older and more substantial than the cabin they lived in. The trading post was the chief reason the McBrides were in Bucks Creek at all. Their father had been sure he'd make his fortune trading with the trappers, and with the Nez Perce, Blackfeet, Bitterroot Salish, and Crow, who took a well-established trade route right through the mountains. The McBrides' wide mountain meadow was a pleasant camp spot for travelers, with fresh flowing water and abundant game. And it did good business in fair weather years. Good enough that the McBrides had settled in, building a cabin farther upriver, on the rise near the tree line, and a barn and forge. In the beginning, Junebug's pa had dreams of Bucks Creek being a proper town, but it was too high up and got snowed in through the heart of winter. Instead, the town of Bitterroot sprang up 4 hours down the mountain, just far enough away to be wretchedly inconvenient in Junebug's book. Junebug loved the trading post and would have spent all day, every day working there, rather than cooking and laundering and being the general workhorse that she was. Interesting people blew into the trading post. You never knew who you'd meet or what they'd bring with them. Once she'd almost taken possession of a stuffed beaver from a man named Garneau. The beaver was marvelous, frozen in a look of perpetual surprise, its mouth open, showing its 2 jutting teeth. But the best thing of all was that Garneau had dressed the beaver up like a gunslinger. It had a little bandolier around its beaver chest and a cowboy hat perched on its beaver head. And it even held a gun, carved out of aspen and painted to look just about real. It was the darndest thing. Junebug would have bought it for sure. If only her brothers hadn't been right there, complaining about how Garneau had ruined a perfectly good beaver skin. Someone, somewhere, now had the pleasure of that beaver, and her brothers had never recognized how nearsighted they'd been. They just didn't know a good thing when they saw it. As she reached the trading post, Junebug climbed over Thunderhead Bill's snoring body and headed inside, yanking her book off the shelf on her way past. She reached for the ink pot and sent splatters of ink across the page as she scrawled her complaints into the book. She stumbled a little over the word irascible and eventually crossed it out and wrote blockheaded instead. Kit didn't take complaints in any form except written. He'd laid down the law on that when she was knee-high, and had even taught her to write so she could follow through. He stocked up on ledgers when he went to town and made sure she had ink. All that trouble, just so he wouldn't have to listen to her moan. Junebug was supposed to put her complaints in the book, and he was supposed to read them after she'd gone to bed.
Every day, she'd check the book after breakfast.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?